This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We start out with Arthur Hardy, with the Times-Picayune and editor and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy Lent.
Absolutely. Still recovering a little bit. Still a little fuzzy, Arthur.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Did the Rex ball last night and get ready for Ashes at noon at St. Anthony Church on Canal Street, a tradition each year.
Over at St. Anthony's, huh? There you go.
Yep. I have an account with St. Anthony. I prepay for things that I lose, and I pray to him, and I always find my stuff, but I have to be sure to pay up. You know, he might stop helping me.
So, Arthur, lots of twists and turns, obviously, with the Sear 1 rating starting, going back to January 1 event, that tragic event, and, you know, the victims of that are still in our thoughts and our prayers and our minds and their surviving families. We're really changed the course of a lot of things for us. You know, we go through a snowstorm in advance of the Super Bowl. We have to redo a lot of what we're doing for Mardi Gras as it relates to the special event assessment rating, SEER 1. Your thoughts on how that was executed?
I think beautifully. And as I have said all along, many of the safety measures that were in place, I don't think we ever saw, you know, and that was a good thing. If you just looked at the parade, you wouldn't know anything was different. Now you looked outside the parade, you could see enhanced barricades and police presence and all, but it was an ordinary Mardi Gras when you subtract the rain out Sunday, and those parades did get to parade on Tuesday, and then of course yesterday, which I really feared we wouldn't be able to have any parades. I'm so glad that we did. You know, Jefferson canceled, Orleans did an abbreviated route, and no bands for the most part. But I think it was a very successful Mardi Gras season. I really do, and a safe one. Now, going forward, you know, what will next year look like? I'm betting we might not be a SEER 1 again, and maybe we don't want it to be. You know, all of these safety measures come at not just a financial cost, but a cost to tradition. You know, how much do we want to change? You can never be 100% safe, you know that. But how, you know, for 5% more safety, do you give up 50% of tradition? And we didn't this year. And going forward, I hope we don't. But I just think it was a great year, and I really did.
Well, it's a delicate balance for sure, and obviously they should do an after action to see what was worth their while, what wasn't worth their while, look at historically where the problematic areas are along the route and figure out how they can best address that. Yesterday, with the abbreviated version of Mardi Gras, first time ever for Rex, I think, to toast at Pascal's Manali, how did that go?
It went well. The stands there were much more elegant than I thought they would be, and it's guaranteed that that Rex would be able to salute his queen, his court, and that they would be able to see the parade and then get ready for the ball that night. The last couple of years, that hasn't happened. By the time Rex got to the Intercontinental with a toast of Vince's 1992, the court had to leave because they had to get ready for that night. So it worked well. And the parade ended at, as we say, Calliope, as everybody else in the world says, Calliope. We took a left there and then went right back to the den. But the crowds were thick. You couldn't get a good feel for was there real enforcement about tents and canopies and open flame containers? Because all that was taken away anyway. The portalettes, you know, the weather dictated compliance, if you will, as opposed to enforcement. So I don't know, next year how, we'll have to see how that goes. But it wasn't an issue yesterday. Friendly crowds. I think they were happy just to have a parade on Fat Tuesday. Again, we're talking downtown New Orleans. We know Met already canceled, and I'm still hoping those August and the trucks have a chance to parade at some other point.
Well, I don't know that you're ever going to get rid of the tents totally and the open flame grills. I saw a number of open flame grills around Josephine and St. Charles, where we are broadcasting from. Mm-hmm. And I also saw the tarps that were put out in an attempt to save their piece of geography. One of the things that was a little disappointing is that a lot of folks just left those old tarps there, and when the wind started blowing, they started going down the road, and they weren't policing their own area that they had set up. But you're never going to change that. I mean, that's just the realities of Mardi Gras, in my view.
Yeah, I think you're right. But on balance, you'd have to say this was a very successful carnival. You know, if for no other reason than we had no safety incidents, and you don't know if we would have had any anyway. I mean, how do we know? These things aren't you don't plan for that happening. But after the Bourbon Street incident, we would have been foolish not to enhance the safety precautions. But I don't know how you could say this was anything other than a successful carnival season. I think hotel occupancy was healthy, maybe in the mid-90s. You're almost never going to get 100%. But everyone I've spoken to, crew captains, riders, have said, man, this was really a good one. You know, maybe not the greatest crowds ever, but very, very solid.
Arthur, it occurred to me I got to watch probably six parades, and a lot of parades have more floats this year than they've had last year, which requires them to have other elements in the parade in between each one of those floats, as I think is how the ordinance reads.
Correct.
They're getting long. And, you know, you had some parades not getting to the end, the last float not getting to the end until after midnight, having started at 6:30. And a 5.5 hour, 6 hour ride is a long ride.
It is, and this is a problem that almost appears to have no solution. You know, I guess unless we mandate a maximum number of, which we kind of have in place, but it's not enforced really. The parades have to either move more quickly or have fewer elements in them. And you know, we haven't had that many breakdowns the last few years. Tractors are maintained better. Tires now almost can't be flat, you know. So you don't hear about float breakdowns most of the time stopping a parade. We did have a problem, the chaos float, on Thursday night that got the wheels got hung up in a manhole cover in the middle of the street, and it was impossible to move the float over the way. So that's the exception issue. Generally, it's not breakdowns that cause parades to be late. It's too many elements in the parade or the pace of the parade. And the pace can be controlled, you know, within reason. You can't have bands running down the street, but you can have a good pace. You can be sure that every float doesn't stop to toast someone. I mean, things like that are manageable. But still, you know, if you have 120 units in a parade, it's going to take several hours for it to pass. And if you're the third parade on a triple header, good luck.
Well, and that's the point, right? I mean, I think the Night of Muses, the last float, didn't get into their ending stage area till almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and that's just crazy. It really is. Now, some of that, again, was caused by that breakdown.
By that breakdown,
right. Yeah, but still, I don't think that delayed the parades 2 hours or anything. So we just have to really take a hard look at the scheduling of parades. Nobody wants to move their parade to another night. You know, we have tradition here, but I hope we'll take a hard look at it. And by ordinance, you cannot have more than 12 units in front of the King's float. I know of at least one parade that had more than 20. So what happens, you know, do we fine them? Is your permit in jeopardy? How do we make this better? and we've got not quite a year. In fact, Tuesday, September 17th. But you pay dues to ride and afloat, and there's nobody to throw to. They've gone home. It's parade fatigue, and it's, hey, I got to go to work in the morning.
Well, you know, it would seem to me that you put a script together. You know, this is a production. You turn it into the city, and that's sacrosanct, and nothing changes.
Yeah.
You know, 1 week before the parade, here it is. That's what it is. When you get to the staging area, no ticking, no laundry. You're not on the script. Yeah. You're not marching.
Well, that's how it should be. And
someone has to have the authority to do so. I mean, because everybody at the last moment decides, oh, let's go get in the parade. Sure, let's call Joe. Joe, we want to get in the parade. Sure, just come on out. I'll stick you in.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I work for the Times Picayune. They actually broke out of them, and I'm continuing to run it for another year. But they do live streaming on NOLA.com from the Picayune headquarters. So we need the lineups of the parade so we know, hey, here's the Baton Rouge band, director Joe Blow and 84 members. We need to talk about the units. So you need a lineup, right? Couple of parades. Never got a lineup. We couldn't even – so that means NOPD, people like Gary Hall, don't even know here's float one. You don't know the name of it until it's in front of you. And so, we need to tighten up on those things that says 10 days out, nothing changes. Here's the lineup. Oh, wait, you've got too many units. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's feelings have to get hurt. You have to
And I'm not trying to rain on the parade, so to speak, but the whole thing gets dragged down when everyone is not playing by the same set of rules, right?
Exactly.
I mean, quite frankly, we wouldn't have the issue with the Rex Toast if we were imposing the rules and enforcing the rules. I mean, that's the reality.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but it is what it is.
And, you're right. And I'm for less government interference in everything. But the crews have brought this on themselves. If you're not going to regulate yourself, then government is going to. And that's not the way it ought to be. You know, let's all be good citizens. You're not the only parade on the street, you know.
Yeah. But I like you, I was glad that we were able to put something out on the street. Obviously, the trend continues. I completely understand what President Cynthia Lee Shang decided in Metairie. It's a different terrain, different landscape, different presentation. Yep. You're not in tight quarters within buildings and things like that. Makes sense to me. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You've said that many times.
No. And if she's guilty of anything, it's being too cautious, and I'll take that any day, you know, because then you play what if. No, I think she did the right thing, and I think New Orleans did the right thing, knowing what we knew at the time, and it worked.
Absolutely. So, and they pulled it off. I have to say, the police and everybody involved pulled
fabulous.
It off masterfully. I mean, because they were the last-minute decisions made the morning of Mardi Gras. Create more parade for them in that short period of time. And it looked like everybody, I think they made it. If they might have been 10 minutes late, but I think they got it all the way through, which was good.
I talked to the police chief last night at the Rex Ball, and she said, you know, my goal was achieved to get everybody off the street by noon if we possibly could, and for nothing bad to happen, and it worked. But I really like her a lot. She gets it for somebody who's
absolutely.
Not familiar. And she's tough. You know, it's a tough job, as you well know. And she's not trying to make friends. She's trying to do the right thing. But I think we've got a real good chief here, and I hope whoever the next mayor is smart enough to keep her.
Can't be afraid to make a decision, that's for certain.
No,
Arthur Hardy,
no.
Always a pleasure. Why don't you take a week off, Arthur, and just a...
Well, let me get my ashes and I'll think about it.
All right, if you won't, I will. Arthur Hardy with
Thanks.
The Times Picayune
Unit,
editor and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. Have a great week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.